Hello everyone, this is Mike Quincy, Connecting the Light. I appreciate very much the fact that you've been very patient while we managed to get our act together here. My guest today is Asura. She has been a conscious channel and teacher for over 20 years and is the founder of the New Human Project, dedicated to authentic, enlightened transformation. She is also the developer of Awareness Effect. And through Awareness Effect, has sessions with clients who she is able to quickly identify with limiting belief structures and clear them in an instant, which we should talk about, of course, replacing them with a supportive foundation for conscious evolution. So I think that's probably enough to introduce you, Asura. Welcome to my program.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here, Mike.
Yes, I appreciate it very much, especially as you've sort of come in at rather short notice anyway. Now, reading your little write-ups, something I found which I'd like you to start off the program by talking about, something that comes up relatively little, yet I have spoken to people on about three occasions about it, and that is your near-death experience. And you might tell us whether that indeed was the start of your interest in these particular subjects.
Well, I had a lot of strong clairvoyant abilities before that, but the near-death experience absolutely catapulted my life into a whole different and more expanded direction. It was something that I sensed was going to happen for about 2 weeks, even though there was nothing physically wrong with me, and was actually going through kind of a grieving process, which was unusual, since I was perfectly healthy. And then ultimately what happened was an unexpected minor surgery turned into a near-death experience. So what happened after that really was just a sense of a deepening of understanding, of knowing things that I probably don't know how I knew, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And everything just started to open up, and my life dramatically changed. So that was back in 1986.
Right.
And it's been a process ever since, really, of unfolding.
Right. I mean, I'd like to pursue that a little further. Most people, when they have a near-death experience, meet some type of being on the other side, and they've probably given some sort of information as to where their life should go. Now, is that the sort of thing that happened to you?
I do not recall meeting a being on the other side. What I can tell you is that upon reawakening, let's say, after this event happened, I was quite surprised at the world. It seemed to be very different to me. And it was very clearly told to me shortly after that near-death experience that I had a specific purpose, and my purpose was to aid in the upliftment of consciousness of humanity, which, of course, I did not have a clue what that meant. And it just continued to unfold from then. And my connection with Yeshua, Jesus, became very, very prominent in my life. So I can't say that I remember seeing a light, but I know there was a tremendous transformation during that time.
Yes. I guess you would agree that by the sound of what you said, you really had a lift up in your level of consciousness.
Yes, it was like a more evolved aspect of myself integrated in. That's what it has always seemed like.
Yes, it certainly does. Now, something else I'm interested to know is, you said it's time. The awakening of the new human is at hand. Now, what is it you believe that is going to happen?
Well, my life since that near-death experience has been very geared towards understanding and working with advancing human consciousness. And it's my understanding that what we're on the brink of, and already actually I think going it, are in it, in this new evolving of the human, is the clearing away or the moving out of the limitation of the third dimensional reality, meaning the reality of illusions, the reality that we are separate from the Creator, that we're separate from each other, that we're separate from anything. And so what I understand is happening is that we're actually beginning to step out of those ways of thinking, those mind constructs that keep us away from who we truly are as really divine humans. And as that, those old programs, those old conditionings of this old reality dissipate, we just begin to stand more into a new human position, I'm going to call it, where we have a greater connection to our source, to what used to be called the miraculous becomes the ordinary, the way it always has been and can be, and a deepening of the connection within our heart and our alignment with the natural order of life.
Right. I see that you obviously must get some guidance, if not for yourself, your clients, possibly both, when you combine the essence, as you describe it, of Yeshua and Magdalene. Is that how you actually deal with your clients' problems, by sort of referring it back to that source?
Yes, Mike, that is. I initially will start working with a client by doing a full channeled session from Divine Union. And what they bring through is a very strong deepening of an understanding of unconditional love for self, as well as there seems to be an energetic presence that is quite obvious for whether it's a group or an individual. And after we do a session with the message from Divine Union, then we usually do another one following or two, where we really work with the consciousness and very specifically identify limiting beliefs. And it's in the same realm that I channel that these belief structures collapse. It's not me, you know, it's not like a technique I've developed. It's definitely coming from another realm, and I believe it to be directly connected to them.
Yes. I think it might be useful to say, and I think I'm correct in this, that Yeshua is in fact another name for Jesus.
Correct.
Right. That's a very Jesus and Magdalene sounds a very powerful combination there. Do they actually answer questions, or is it simply advice given?
It is typically advice given, spiritual guidance, and also teachings for an individual or group spiritual evolvement and awakening. And they do give guidance and answer questions, but they do it in a very let's say high level directive way, so as to not interfere with the individual's free will in any way, but ways to spark an inner knowing, ways to confirm things. I never know how that's going to show up, and it's different for everybody.
Right.
But it's beautiful guidance. Beautiful guidance.
I'm sure so, yes. You do say that some of the people that attend these sessions experience a deep unconditional love and release of the illusions of separation. I would imagine experiencing unconditional love is a very powerful force, and perhaps it's not surprising in that case that people no longer feel quite as much separated from other beings.
That's right. And you know, what seems to happen initially is they begin to fall in love with themselves again. And, a very big piece of this work seems to be about really getting rid of the judgments that we carry about ourselves and the world around us and step into a greater flow in life with greater synchronicity and order in our lives without all the resistance that the human mind can put up as roadblocks.
Right. It must sound funny to some people when you talk of loving yourself, but is that largely in the realm of forgiving yourself for what you perceive as things you've done wrong and perhaps carrying a sort of a guilt complex?
You know, guilt and shame seems to be one of the biggest clearings that happen because, you know, it's my understanding, Mike, that guilt and shame is a man-made idea. It doesn't really come from Creator. And when we start to collapse those realities, and that's what I call it, collapsing old realities that aren't moving us in a direction of awakening, everything starts to change because it seems that we're really attracting and experiencing in our lives what we believe to be true, and these are not conscious usually. They're usually deeply ingrained on a subconscious level. We come in with certain propensities through our DNA and our ancestral lineage, all kinds of things that are passed down that we take on that may not even be ours, but they're there. And as those start to be released, we become resonant with something much bigger, much more expansive, and life begins to unfold in quite a different way.
Yes. Well, you do say your outer world is always a reflection of your inner reality,
yes.
Which I guess means that we actually create the reality around us.
Yes.
So people normally wouldn't perhaps believe that they have that sort of effect on what is happening around them, but how do you make them aware that they are in fact the cause?
Well, within the awareness effect, what we do is we really talk about where the individual would like to see their life, what experiences would they like to have that maybe they're not having, or what patterns do they feel they can't seem to shift out of? And we move towards solutions so that that becomes their reality. And there's a way to identify what those belief structures are, and that's what awareness effect does. And then once the clearing happens, with the person's permission, of course, we then recheck. And I use muscle testing, actually, for part of this process for them to, and they don't have to be with me. They can be at a distance, but there's ways we can do that at a distance where they can actually see for themselves what subconscious programs are running, and we clear them, and then they recheck, and they'll be gone. And if they don't clear, the only reason they don't is because there's maybe some subconscious beliefs underneath that holding that in place, and we find it, and we clear it.
Right. Now, probably a difficult problem to deal with is health. How can you help people to gain a greater degree of health?
Well, now with quantum science and epigenetics and many of these new ways of looking at the body and how the body is really responding to its environment, we're learning that consciousness has an absolute impact on every cell and every system in the body. And Dr. Bruce Lipton, who wrote Biology of Belief, has a great way of explaining that. And so if an individual is having health challenges, the way I would assist them is to help them identify potential belief structures that could be manifesting in their body physically. Or creating some kind of a disruption. And because it's the directive of this work that I'm doing with Divine Union that really is working at the level of consciousness, which precedes anything that manifests physically, whether it's in our body or in the outer reality. So that's how I help them. I really help them get to the cause, the potential cause of the discomfort or entities within the body. Does that make sense, Mike?
Yes, I think so. Yeah. Clearly, if people are focusing on things of what I would call a lower vibration, and they attract back to themselves a similar level of energy, then they may well find that their health isn't terribly good. So what you're saying is to raise everything, isn't it?
Right. And, you know, I think we're, you know, we often get stuck as we think if we just change our thinking, our conscious thinking, that everything will shift. But what I've been discovering is that it's really the subconscious programming that is the greatest, has the greatest impact on what we manifest in our lives. Because before we even have a thought or a feeling or make a decision or have a reaction, our perception of who we are and the world around us is first being triggered. And most of that is held on a subconscious level. It's not even in our awareness. And I think that people get frustrated sometimes because they do all the right things. They set goals and the visualizations. They read the right books. And for some people, change happens, and for some, it doesn't. And this seems to help address the underlying reasons why things may not change for some people, and then they do. So we're pretty, you know, we're pretty amazing. I mean, human beings are quite incredible. And yes, we can create and uncreate all kinds of things, you know?
So are you saying that people actually program themselves to anticipate certain events that they're involved in? In other words, they're almost creating what is going to take place because they believe that is how it is.
Well, you know, and I wouldn't say they program themselves, but what we know about the subconscious is that between the ages of 1 and 6, all children are, you know, their brain is developing, and they're in what's called the theta brainwave state, which is very programmable. I mean, it's a hypnagogic state. It's the state where people go into if they're having hypnosis or they're in very deep, deep-level meditation. And so during those very formative years, everything a child experiences or hears or, you know, feels, is all going straight into the subconscious mind as fact. The young mind does not have the ability to discern very well or to figure it out yet. It's just, I call it the truth and fact file. And right, so all this information is in there. Much of it, of course, is wonderful because we grow and we have all these wonderful experiences that in life. But sometimes there's some underlying programs in there that came from outside, not by anybody's fault necessarily. It's not about blame, but it's just in there. And, you know, for instance, if somebody believes that on a subconscious level, because of some experience they had along the way, I'm not valuable, you know, and yet in their conscious mind they're doing everything to pursue success in their life, and they may have a hard time with it. If there is a subconscious program running saying, nope, I don't agree, they're incongruent within themselves. And it that program of I'm not valuable can disrupt a lot of what they may be trying to accomplish. Mm. So it's not always obvious. It's not like we deliberately take on these beliefs. Most of it happens in a very, you know, in those very early formative years.
Right.
But they can be changed. Yeah.
Yes. So I suppose people sometimes feel unworthy when they needn't at all.
I didn't get that part, Mike. They may feel unworthy,
yeah,
but...
Yeah, when they don't actually need to, in other words, they're creating a condition that they identify with themselves when it's unnecessary.
Right, because that, you know, we are created by the same creator. And a lot of these ideas of not being worthy or not lovable or whatever may be going on that may be showing up in life in various ways, it's just a belief structure. It's just a conditioning. And for one thing, we're not our past. We are really, what we really are and what is really true is this present moment. But we continue to run these old programs that continue to have us experience maybe something that isn't even real anymore. But we can see, the thing is, we can identify it and clear it. It's all energy. Consciousness is energy. And right. I think of a thought structure really as just a particular frequency that we are resonating in and attracting to, which can be changed.
Right, yes. I would imagine the divine union messages often promote the idea of creating peace and love around you. Would you say that's correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And it really begins with loving ourselves. And when we're peaceful and accepting and loving of ourselves, we naturally just become that. And, you know, life is going to reflect to us what we believe to be so about ourselves as well as the world around us. And Divine Union's message is very, very strong on coming back to a place of unconditional love and self-acceptance, and then everything else starts to change. It has to, because the outer is always going to reflect the inner.
Yes.
And it's graceful and easy, you know?
Right. Now, you talk of the divine feminine and the divine masculine. Would people recognize within themselves if they've got a very badly imbalanced condition between those two?
What would they recognize? Was that the question, Mike?
Yeah, would they recognize if they were very badly, say, imbalanced, perhaps more of the divine masculine, say, than a divine feminine? Would people recognize that within themselves, or could they?
Well, you know, what I have found is that when we start to see our life flowing and synchronicity happening, you know, where things just, our life seems to just line up without great effort, we're pretty balanced. One of the pieces that seems to be the most challenging for many people is giving themselves permission to feel and to really go into that heart space of inspiration, intuition, compassion for self and others, because we've been told, you know, that what's really real is what we think. And, our consciousness is very, very important, but there's that higher consciousness that kind of, you know how we can actually watch ourselves doing something? You know, Mike, did you ever just notice that you're doing something and you're just aware of the fact that you're doing it? That's really a higher level of consciousness. The human mind has a lot of noise, a lot of ideas, a lot of judgments, and it will often keep us away from that deep feeling within our heart, what's true for us. And being true to ourselves and authentic and living in the world from a place deep within our heart is going to make a tremendous impact in how easy or hard life will be. If we're not in that place of divine inspiration, intuition, self-love, life is a much tougher experience. And when people begin to realize that they are extraordinary, that they're actually magnificent, no matter what they may have been told along the way, and start to fall back in love with themselves again, they're really coming into that balance of the divine feminine and the divine masculine. Life just becomes a lot easier with flow, and things just start to show up without it being so much effort. We move out of resistance and into allowing, and that is a huge key for unconditional love.
Right. Now, just getting back to the divine masculine, is that the type of condition when it's out of balance where, say, a man feels that showing his feelings is something that only, say, females do, and he will hold back any expression in that connection?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's part of, I think, the conditioning that many men have, and women too. I mean, you know, there is this split away from the whole person. You know, we have these, the feminine and the masculine are the true essence of balanced creation. It's the natural order of life. And when we can, if a man is able to give himself permission to feel and to express those feelings, you know, he will most likely just feel more complete and whole, and he can be more authentic. And that is an expression of the divine feminine. It's the balance. Right. It's the coming back into balance again.
Yes, yes. I thought that was indeed the answer. Now, you say we are entering the time of a new and extraordinary opportunity for humanity and our planet Earth. What is it you think is happening? I mean, how has this opportunity come about?
Well, it's a combination of all of what we've just spoken about. And it's a moving out of this, I'm going to call it a deep dream state of limitation. A lot of the conditioning that we've taken on. And as we start to become aware, more and more aware, and consciously participating in the, let's say, unfolding of a knowing that we're not separate from each other, we're not separate from nature, we're not separate from our Creator, and most of all, we're not separate from ourselves, there becomes a natural flow and order in our life. And that can only continue to expand into our global community. And it is happening. I know that there's a lot of chaos for a lot of people, a lot of discord, and people are having some serious challenges. But it seems to be that what is up to be seen is really up to be healed. And one of the things that I recommend that people do, if they can grasp the idea that anything that seems out of order or struggle or anything outside of love is really a belief in separation, if they can deeply go into their heart and literally forgive themselves for believing that that is true, a lot can start to shift. There's a great collaboration happening with people all over the world right now. They're beginning to see the old ways are not really serving us anymore. And the natural order of life is alignment and allowing and unfolding as opposed to resistance and fighting and battling. And I believe that that's exactly where we're headed, into a place of allowing. And that is an awakened state.
Right. There is a belief at the moment that there is shortly to be a divine upliftment in the level of energies, which will take us effectively into this sort of new level of life, which will give us the peace and the joy and the happiness that probably everyone seeks. Are you aware of that, and would you agree that we are coming to some major change?
Absolutely. I absolutely agree. And if, you know, and if people look, they'll be able, they can see it. If we look for what's working and put our focus on, again, I'm going to emphasize synchronicity and order. The more we shift our awareness to that, the more of that is going to be showing up. And, you know, I think it was Einstein that said, we can't solve a problem from the place of the problem. If we can begin to realize that we're waking up from a dream state, this old belief that we are separate and that we have to fight everything, and the war against this and the battle against that, and just watch our connection to our source guide us and pay attention to that and start to come into alignment with that. You know, there's ways in which even the brain and the nervous system can be quieted down, because we're really like more like an antenna to source moving through us. And, you know, as our consciousness starts to clear out and we start to have a deeper sense of peacefulness in how we think and begin to settle down the nervous system, everything just becomes much clearer and much more obvious to us, and our connection to each other becomes more apparent. It's happening. It's already happening. I mean, you've got this fabulous radio show.
Yeah,
that's one way that it's showing up, you see?
Indeed, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I certainly agree with you about that. Now, you clearly believe in the law of attraction, and I guess people try to benefit from it, but do you think sometimes people expect too much too soon?
I think the biggest challenge people have is not really understanding it, how it's working. It's always working. But like I was saying before, it's more than just our conscious focus. We really need to be congruent within ourselves, our subconscious and conscious mind. And when the subconscious agrees with what the conscious mind wants, there's no stopping it. Did you ever try to visualize something and, you know, say you had an idea of something you wanted to create in your life? We'll make it simple, a new car. And you try to imagine yourself in the car. You can picture it, but you can't get the feeling to back it. It almost feels like you're lying to yourself. Do you know what I mean? Have you ever had that experience? Well, that's where people get stuck. And what they don't understand very often, because we're not taught this, is that that's a subconscious belief saying no. And if we don't have our conscious mind and our subconscious in alignment, it can be very hard to attract what we want because we're incongruent. Mm. And, you know, and I think that people do all the right things, but if they miss that piece, it can be a lot more challenging to get the law of attraction to work the way they'd like it. And I think, as you were asking about, do they expect too much, or however you put that, timing is important. But when we're congruent within ourselves, things are much more readily available.
It's not
so hard. Yeah.
No. Well, I've always thought that when people want something, that they tend to tell themselves exactly how it should manifest, whereas I believe you simply put out the idea or the message, thought, that you want a thing, but you allow it to manifest in whatever way it's possible.
I absolutely agree. That is a tremendous key, because that is being in that place of allowing. And that's when the universe can bring it to us in the most extraordinary ways, in ways we would have never thought of with our little human mind, which can limit it, you know? I totally agree with that.
Right. Now, just as an example, can you tell us from your actual experience how a clearing takes place? Because you talk of the awareness effect and how it quickly clears beliefs that stop you living the life you say you deserve. So give us an example of how that sort of works. What would you say to someone, and how would you expect them to respond?
Okay, well, what we would do in a session is, for one thing, we would start having a conversation, and just in the conversation, I can hear and see what belief structures are probably in place, okay? And what I would then do is I would have them make particular statements as if they were true. And through a process of testing, and like I said, I would use muscle testing, but there's a number of different ways that that can be utilized at a distance if they're not with me in person. They would make a statement. Their body will let them know if that's true or not. As they begin to identify beliefs that probably are not serving them, they would then, you know, say, yes, I'd like to clear that, because it has to be done with their agreement. Divine Union and I are not doing anything to them. We're aligning with them in agreement. And what they would experience at that end is, I'm just going to be quiet. And I will be shifting my consciousness and aligning with Divine Union, and that I'm going to say that this plane of unconditional love, I don't know how else to describe it, Mike, because I'm not doing anything, all right? I'm simply shifting into the same place I go when I'm channeling Divine Union's messages, and I am pretty much a trance channel, by the way.
Yes.
And then we recheck, and their body's answer will have changed. That's how we know that it cleared. That's how we know. And if it didn't clear, it means there's a belief under there holding that in place. And we find that, clear that, and then it's like the deck stack of cards starts to fall. What they'll notice afterwards is that they're different. They'll just know they're different. And I give them particular tools to use to start to integrate in and move them in a new direction, because they're no longer going to be in resonance with those old beliefs and those old thoughts. It'll be very obvious to them. They don't fit, because we've cleared those frequency bands.
Okay.
Do you understand? Is that a good explanation? It's a little hard to describe sometimes.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. Yeah. I would like to think that our listeners would be understanding of what you're getting at there. Yes, it's a bit deep, I think. But now, look, you're the co-author of what I understand has been or is a best-selling new book called How Did You Do That? What brought you to bring out that book?
Well, you know, I am one of a number of authors in that book. I met the publisher of that book at a conference. Somebody had told her about the work I was doing with Awareness Effect, and she wanted me to write about it. And so I was invited to participate. How Did You Do That is stories of going for it. And it's for me, it was about recognizing where my life used to be. And I talk in the book, in my chapter in the book, about how Awareness Effect evolved, and how my own life experiences around self-limitation, limiting belief structures, how it kept me stuck in so many ways. I didn't even know that they were there, those beliefs. And as I stepped into the channeling with Divine Union, and as I was gifted, you know, to me it feels like guidance and gifting to be able to clear beliefs, I started to work with that within myself for a period of time, and so I absolutely knew that it didn't have to be hard to make those changes. And then I started to bring that work out into the world. And it's only in the last 2.5-3 years that I've been doing Awareness Effect out in the world. The channeling I've been doing for a lot longer than that.
Right.
And so that's what's in the book. It's just a bit.
So you're saying that could actually be an inspiration for people to tackle their own problems?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Definitely. So you're clearly going to recommend that book for people who want to do that. Are you an author of Any books of your own, by the way?
No, I'm in the process now of compiling Divine Union Messages. And it will be a book that really has come through the messages. And it's a bit of a project, but that's what's in the works at this point in time. Yes.
Sounds very interesting and attractive. Are these messages that you have never released before?
Yes, a lot of them are. I have a lot of recorded messages, many hours worth. And what we're doing is we're beginning to extract it and create a sequence of teachings that they have brought through and publish it that way. I do have, I do have some Divine Union messages on my website that are free for people to listen to, too, and I try to make it as available as I can, because I think that it's time for what they have to say to be out there now.
I agree,
yes. Helping a lot of people, yeah.
I've looked on your website. I must confess, I never noticed that you had messages on there. Is that on your DonnaAsura.com website?
Yes. Yeah, that, you know, New Human Project is how most people are getting to my website now. Either way, you'll get to it. And I have a specific link. I'm working on recreating the site so that it's all blended together a little bit better. But Divine Union, there's a link for Divine Union. And when people click on that, they can access some free Divine Union messages that have been recorded live for groups. I work with groups. I work with individuals. But it's the group work that you'll find on there. And they're pretty easy to just listen to from the site.
Right. I have to say, I did try your Divine Union one today, and Google told me they couldn't open it for some reason, but I'll try it again in the days to come. I would be interested to read your messages, for certain. Have you got a target date to publish the book?
Do I have a date, did you say?
Yeah, have you got one in mind when you'd like to published?
I'd like to have it published within the next 9 to 10 months, but you know, we're just going to have to see how all that unfolds, because it's never exactly when you think it's going to happen. But that's my goal.
I'm sure you will be helped by the powers that be to get that one out at the right time.
It's quite amazing how they've been stepping up to the plate and letting everything come into place.
It's
amazing.
Now, what is this Global Theta Meditation CD that you have?
Global Theta Meditation is actually a meditation that was channeled from Yeshua. And it is available through me. What that is it was designed to be a meditation where people would get together at synchronized times around the world and actually visualize world peace. And at the moment, the website for the schedule is down, but the CDs are available. And what I encourage people to do is just have the CD and gather a group of people together and follow this very powerful guided meditation to visualize peace. And it can be... it doesn't have to be a big global picture. It can just be peace within their own life, whatever peace means to them. You know, it could mean health. It could mean love. It could mean whatever it is to them. And as you know, when people align with the same intention at the same time, miracles truly can happen. And so that is the intention for the CD. Or, of course, just use it on your own to your own manifestation of peace. It's a powerful CD. We did win an award for it. And the musician, Sue Scudder, is an internationally known musician, and she actually channeled the music to the words. It came out quite beautiful. Yeah. Mm. And so people can always contact me for that.
Right. I was going to say, you mentioned about people getting up groups to do that. And of course, the power within is multiplied several times, isn't it, when a number of people get together to do it?
Yeah, it's actually squared. You know, if two people are together, it's the power of four, and it just goes on from there. And, you know, that's one of the teachings that have come from ancient times, and it certainly seems to be very real. We have a tremendous amount of opportunity right here, right now, at this moment, to create dramatic, wonderful changes in our world, in our personal lives, and in our global community, simply by aligning with each other and working in that place of allowing and cooperation. And things can shift instantly like that. Absolutely.
Indeed. There is such a thing as people power, and whilst we feel often at times when there are great problems outside that there's nothing we can do about it, indeed this form of meditation or projecting peace and love can be the powerful answer.
It certainly can. It certainly can make a tremendous difference. And you know, and I encourage people to do whatever it is that comes to them that feels right. Even if they just have a couple of people together every now and then and have discussions about solution or about where they'd like to see the world, you know, moving away from focusing on all the upset and really just shifting on the possibilities. There's unlimited potential when we shift to looking at possibilities. Things can change so much faster than putting all of our energy on the problem.
Right.
It just gives us more of the same.
Have Yeshua and Magdalene actually commented on how humanity is doing at this time?
Actually, yes. And they're thrilled. You know, it comes through often, a particular saying. They say many people are seeing this as a time of chaos, and they're saying it's actually a time of Christos, and it's actually a time of great awakening. And there's more love on this planet now and more love available from the higher realms than ever before for our human community. And they've talked about there's more, I'm going to say, galactic higher realm assistance available. There's more light and sound and color available that's actually uplifting all of life on this planet. We may not be able to see it with our physical eyes, but it's happening. And there's a spark in every life, form of life in this world that holds the divine, and it is being really, really activated in a way that it's never been before. I'm absolutely certain that we're on a wonderful path to a beautiful future for anyone that chooses to put their attention on that.
Yes. Well, I absolutely agree with you. Obviously, I have my own feelings about the immediate future, but I think what you said there is absolutely correct about where we stand and where we're heading. Now, also notice on your website you do a newsletter. Is that still active?
The newsletter is about ready to start up again here in the next week. And I have recently relocated in Sedona, Arizona now, and it's amazing what's been happening here in Sedona. Sedona's quite an interesting place for manifesting, I can tell you that.
Absolutely,
and so
yeah.
a lot of the work has been very, very amped up. I've been very busy with quite a bit of travel and doing workshops, and so now I'm getting ready to get that newsletter going in about another week or two with a lot of new information and new material available for people. And if anybody is interested in it, all they have to do is go onto the website and subscribe to the newsletter, and be happy to get it to them. A powerful workshop has now been integrated into the world called Prosperity and Beyond. And the changes in people's lives from this workshop has been quite profound. And it's very directed by divine union. A lot of what happens in the workshop has been amazing. So we have a lot of exciting new things happening, and I will be getting that out in the next week.
Right, that's good. You're certainly very busy, I must say. Right. What did I want to say now? We were quickly getting to the closing minutes of the program, and I do want to take a minute or two at the end to announce next week's guest. Do you have any particular message you would like to give our listeners?
You know, what I'd really like to encourage everyone to do is to remember that they are a beautiful, magnificent being, and only they can be the piece of the human puzzle that they can be. They're unique, they are divine design, and they're important. They matter. And I can't emphasize that enough. People often think, you know, it's just me, who am I? Well, every one of you is absolutely extraordinarily important and valuable and deeply loved. And just hold that close in your heart and know that. Be it. Allow yourself just to be it.
I think that's a wonderful closing message there, and I must thank you very, very much for coming onto the program. It's been very interesting to talk with you. So I'll quickly announce to my listeners that next week I have Lynn Serafin. She was born in Brooklyn and now resides in Bedford, England. She's one of Amazon's best-selling authors, and she uses her power to inspire and help people reconnect to themselves. So, thank you for being with me today and bearing with us due to the late start, and I hope you can be with us next week. God bless you all. Thank you.